Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
We're talking to an Olympic gold medalist here. His name is Sean White, and he's the Flying Tomato, and he's getting ready to take a guitar lesson. How long have you been playing guitar here, Sean?
I think about 2 years. Yeah.
What do you think of the way B. Young blasts that thing?
He's all over it, man. I was just talking with him a bit about
what were you guys talking about? Go ahead.
And scales and jamming.
Okay, go ahead. Continue, man. Please, guys, go ahead.
I told him I wanted to give him a guitar lesson.
And what kind of music do you actually like to play when you actually play?
You know, I love Zeppelin, AC/DC, I mean, White Stripes.
You like Metallica?
Yeah, that's kind of like the first songs I started learning. Like, you know what I mean? You sit there and you go on the internet and you find a tab and it's like Inner Sandman and
all sure.
That song.
Are you full of rage? I'm serious.
What?
I'm sure, because
oh,
let me put it this way, because as an artist, and I consider what you do as an artist, artist to artist here, okay, yeah. You may compete in it occasionally, but what you do is a clearly cut art form. It can grow on forever, and it can develop into whatever, but I'm convinced that when you lose your rage about something, then your work suffers. I'm angry about everything, and that's when I do the best radio, the best lyrics, the best stage show. That's when he plays. Look at his face. Does he look happy when he plays? Go ahead, play!
Oh, there's some pain in those eyes.
Isn't it? You telling me you smile on the way down the slope?
No way, man.
What do you look like when you're going down?
Oh, I run this, like, mask right now.
Okay, and underneath, what kind of a face do you make underneath that mask?
It's all biz. Okay. I mean, that's what's funny is, like, I'm all, like, smiles and it's jokes up before, and then everybody says this, I get in this, like, kind of weird zone, like, right before I drop in, I get all quiet and, like, just do what I need to. But I mean, I swear, like playing guitar and snowboarding and competition, for me it's like the same feeling.
It absolutely like would be.
You know, it brings out that same
you're expressing yourself.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Some people, well, you're using your rig, I call it. And whether you're using your fingers to play an instrument or whether you're using your body to move a sword or a surfboard around, you follow? People who dance do the same thing. And that's when you're a good artist in one thing, I'm convinced that you can pretty easily, more easily, move to another art form.
I mean, and I found that I play better in front of people for some reason because the pressure's there.
Absolutely.
And like it's the same for snowboarding. Like if there's someone yelling, like a crowd or something like that, I'll go way better.
You know what, Sean? You've addressed something that a lot of artists, whether it's in the sports world or in the music world, they fall apart right at that transition. Is that they're good up to a point, and then when there's a peer group or some people or some pretty girls or whatever watching, they freeze. They freeze, and that's the end of the career, whether it's with the surfboard or with the ukulele or anything in between. And you're saying that when you get that kind of pressure, you thrill to it. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I've had it since I was younger, and, like, I mean, I'm crazy competitive. Like, I had some mean games of Monopoly when I was younger.
Combat Monopoly?
You know, the younger brother, like, kicks the board and runs? Like, that was me. It was bad.
You don't have to explain. My father was a prison doctor, and we used to physically fist fight over chess games. Routinely, my family would shrink when he'd go, okay, dinner's over. Time for chess.
Just got all heavy. Rook tonight. Rook tonight.
Oh, really? Hey, that's not
Rook tonight.
Oh, really? And to this day, I'm competitive, and from having my sisters shrink in terror from the dinner table, I thrill to an audience. Man, now look what I do for a living.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. That's the feeling I get. It's crazy.
What are you going to do to relax after something like the games, man? Or are you even planning to relax?
Well, that's what's fun is, I mean, it's like one of those things where my career was, you know, steadily going uphill, and I mean, this is one of those big jumps, and I mean, it's been a trip. I kind of got like my first little kind of mob scene in the street yesterday, and it was a trip. I had the first paparazzi guy. I was like, who's that guy?
Next
taking
stop,
photos. Like, next, it tripped me out. I was like, what's going on?
Next stop, Paris Hilton, huh?
Yeah.
The hotel and the girl.
You guys are going to see me after this all red carpet out. No, but, I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm just having fun with it, and we've been running around L.A., New York, and just doing, I mean, talk shows. We went on Leno and all these shows. It's been a blast.
What's the best question somebody's asked you on a Letterman and a Leno and with the news and so forth?
You know what? I think I'll let you know, like, the best Because we've been asking, like, what the best advice for me would be. Because, I mean, things have just gotten, you know, a bit crazier in my life. So,
sure.
You know, best advice. I was gonna ask you for some, because we've been collecting it. And so I asked Adam Carolla. I went on his radio show. And,
sure.
And he said, stay away from sketchy girls. Like
well,
kind of sketchy
Adam
broads.
Carolla.
But, yeah, and then you know, Steve Harvey was claiming, like, don't make new friends and this and that. And
No, here's my advice
what's
to you.
The best? What do you got?
There's two answers to any question. Okay, just memorize it this way. The first is, let me answer that this way. And the second is, before I answer that, let me say this. Okay, now I'm going to show you how this works. Okay, I'm going to talk about surfing. I don't know much about snowboarding, but I'm going to talk about surfing. Brian, ask me a typically stupid, dead brain rock and roll question of a singer. Okay, go ahead. Here we go.
Hey, Dave, I love that record. What was that song you did, Panna something?
You know what? I think that's a good question, and I think what you're trying to ask me is this, is why would I put a song like that on my record? Because it's just like surfing, man. You look for the good waves, you look for the bad waves, and you pick the finest one, and that's the one that goes in your memory, just like on a record. See how I did that?
That was good moves right there. I was digging that.
Never answer anything directly. You'll be a congressman, if nothing else.
Just dodge bullets.
No, you know what the advice is? Continue with the attitude you got. You're leading with your face. I've led with my face, and I've been places with mine that I wouldn't go with a pistol. You sound like you're having a good time, and a lot of folks in your position stress out. Again,
yeah, I mean, like, I'm just having a good time with it, and everybody tripped out because I came back from Italy early. But, I mean, I was fun over there, but, like, you're stuck in this athlete village.
Sure.
And it was intense. Like, there's, like, biathlon athletes. And, I mean, like, the snowboard crowd and that crowd don't mix too much. It was intense.
It's like being stuck backstage with Ozzy after a while.
It's
so run! No, I know what you mean. You come and you get your props. You just did a photo session for Rolling Stone, did you? Is this your first, like, major heavy lifting Rolling Stone photo session?
Yeah, I mean, like, we caught the plane into New York from Italy, and, I mean, we show up, and that night we shot the cover of Rolling Stone. It was a trip. I was just like...
Who was the photographer?
Oh, man.
Doesn't matter. How long did it take to actually shoot it? Really? Was that a long kind of a thing?
No, it wasn't too long, but it was so funny because it was, like, the hero shot where I had the flag over my shoulders with the medal and, like, no shirt. And, like, you know what I mean? It was like the...
Hey, welcome to the world of Muhammad Ali, my friend. You could be graced with a lot less pressure. That's a great salute to you. That's one of the greatest magazines ever.
Yeah, it was
cool. And that kind of a shot puts you right up there with all those greats, man.
So cool.
And you represent a whole new generation and a whole new attitude of sport that my generation didn't have. Talk to me about the X Games. Is that ever going to be in the Olympics?
You know, what they were talking about is, it's crazy because, I mean, kids can't, like my friends don't really, like, relate to the whole, like, you know, the biathlon event. I'll give an example. Like, I don't know too many of my friends that, like, cross country ski and then, like, shoot things. So it was a
Nugent.
It was
that's the only friend I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's just, like, this whole new group of sports that are coming out, and it's just got, you know, it's got so much more hype around it, and there's more kids that are into it. I mean, you can go around a baseball field at home where I live, and it's just empty, but then there's this terrible little skate park, and it's just packed.
Well, you know, you're talking about competitive sports. You can't really play baseball just against your own team, but you can do what you do, like martial arts, by yourself or competitively or just socially too, right?
And then that was what was cool is, I mean, I didn't have a coach, which was awesome. Because you didn't have some guy, like some random guy that could barely do the sport trying to tell you what to do. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're inventing
the sport as you go.
Yeah, and that's like, it gives you room to just do whatever you want. You know what I mean? And then you learn at your own speed where, like, you know, my friends were, like, content just, like, doing, like, little ollies and stuff, and then I was trying to jump cliffs and do this and that, and, I mean, it just, like, it lets you just do whatever you want, and I think that was the best.
There was a point back in the very early 60s, I maintain, two things happened that made the generations just opened up, and you're experiencing the benefits now. Yeah. First was the birth control pill got invented in 1961.
That's a good one.
Number two, like the way he thinks, you're going far. And number two was, you always had to have somebody else to dance with, so they invented the twist, and you could do it by yourself. That's how you got to use the pill most often, right? And that's where you are in sports. You don't have to compete if you don't want to. It's like I say, martial arts, it's something you can do yourself. Mm-hmm. You can do it around the world. You don't need a specific place to do it.
You don't have to wait for the team to show up. I mean, it was awesome growing up like that. And my brother skates and snowboards, so I would just follow him through the parks, and I mean, I would hit these huge jumps just following him and not know it, and it just like slowly just kind of got better and better. It's weird.
I've gone rock climbing in probably 15 different countries, and I'm only intermediate. I'm probably the most accomplished intermediate climber ever, but that's been a passport for me. Then do you camp when you go out to skiing sometimes? You ever take your tents with you? And
you know, it's funny because every now and then you'll do like these trips where you go out kind of just into the wilderness.
Certainly.
I mean, and you just snowmobile out there, and it's like backcountry filming. Like, we shoot video parts every year. So, I mean, you do like your normal part where you're up on the mountain to hitting jumps and stuff like that. But then, you know, you get those fun things where you're like out in the backcountry with tents. And I mean, it's a good time.
When did you start doing that? Did your family teach you how to do that? Or did you start doing that later on?
No, I did that later on just because, I don't know, the family would always just go ride the mountain. And I mean, like, I don't think my mom could make it down the full on like avalanche run.
What's your pop do for a living?
My dad, he works at City San Clemente. Like, he fixes, like, pipe breaks and stuff like that.
Outstanding, man. Is he proud of you?
Yeah, he's awesome. You know what I mean? He's the coolest guy ever. And have you seen a movie, The Big Lebowski?
Of course, many times.
Yeah, well, we just call
him... I am a Lebowski. Anyways.
Yeah, we call my dad the dude or the Raj. His name's Roger, so we call him the Raj now. But, I mean, he's the coolest guy ever. He's so relaxed and... And it's so funny to see because my mom would get stressed out when I'm doing my events.
Sure.
She's just nervous. I mean, it's the whole mom. That's the mom game anyways. But, I mean, he's just that guy that's just kicking it, like, full lounge back. Like,
and that's where you take your calm energy from, huh?
Yeah, he's good times. So, I mean,
you speak with a lot of confidence. I'm wondering if it came from him there.
Yeah, I mean, he's just that guy that he might not say a lot during, like, times where, you know, it's, like, some emotional family deal, but, like, what he says is pretty important, so it's...
A man of very few words, like me.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You guys share the same...
You talked about videos. You're going to be selling DVDs and making videos and stuff? Because I see this with skating. I see it with surfing. I've purchasedly bought by weight 4 pounds when I decided to start surfing. I piled them up to my chin. That's as many as I could possibly carry from the video place. Is that what you're going to be headed towards?
Yeah, well, we did. There's a movie that just came out on DVD. It's First Descent. And that's like Mountain Dew had this idea to back this. It was a project of taking myself and like 4 other people up into Alaska to shoot some stuff. And I mean, I've never been to Alaska in my life. I've never been in a helicopter. Like, I ride jumps and half pipe and rails and stuff like that. So I'm like, out of nowhere, put on the top of this mountain, just going like, what am I doing here? And I had all this gear out of nowhere. Like, I ride just jacket and stuff, and I had a transceiver. So if you get buried under the snow in an avalanche, they like beep and find you and dig you out. And then I had a backpack to dig my friends out. And then I had, and then this one was the worst.
Sounds like a hell of a weekend downtown.
Yeah, I had a harness on. And I'm like, why do I need this harness? And they're like, well, if you fall in a crevasse, bro, we're going to have to pull you out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing here? And I mean, I was just going down the run, just looking for the handrail, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah, but now you've got the best drinking story in the tri-state area. You will never go without a set of ears and a free drink in front of you. Half of life is that. I'm talking to Sean White. He brought home the gold in the half pipe. He's the flying tomato. Sean, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me. I've got a guitar lesson later.
Oh, this is good. He is the best. He's the best, the best.
I've been watching.
I'm sure you're going to get the gold in whatever you pursue. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
God bless.
Keep it up.
David Lee Roth
on 92.3
Free FM.
Anata wa David Lee Roth to tsunagattimasu. Bakatsu suru kakugo wa dekiteru? Rokuji no Roth Direct.
You got that. Get it, Brian. Snowboarding, baby. Downhill, baby. Nice light pack powder, baby. Yeah. An award-winning run. Yeah, that's it. Sit down the half pipe. Yeah.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, and we were talking to Shaun White. Wow, amazingly cool kid, amazingly cool interview, amazingly cool performance in Torino. He's the guy who did the halfpipe in the, he's the X Games fella, he did the snowboarding, and he's got a future ahead of him, doesn't he? And he's going to be taking a guitar lesson from B. Young.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of music does he actually listen to? Anytime I ask somebody like that age, what do you listen to? They always say Led Zeppelin. I don't.
That's a good sign for the young kids nowadays.
It's a good sign. But did he, when you were talking with him about the music, what does he actually listen to?
Yeah,
did he share with
that's
you?
That's it, yeah.
And what does he want to learn when you teach him guitar stuff? Be young. Go ahead.
I'm going to show him like the mainly get the blues scale down. And I don't know. We'll just go for it.
Play some what you would show him. Go ahead. Turn up the track. Oh.
Also, I want him to work on his vibrato.
Well, that's what makes it wail. That's what gives it the human voice sound, okay? Is when you trill it and you move your finger on that neck really fast. Go ahead and do it again. Go ahead again, baby. That's the hardest thing to master, is it not?
It takes a long time just to do a good bend.
Oh! Look at Animal's face.
Yeah, man, that just razzed my bubbles on me, man.
your pants get lumps when the bass man thumps.
You know it. But yeah, that was a great interview, man. That guy got a lot of energy. He's going to go very far, man.
Have you ever been snowboarding, Animal? Have you ever
Never. I've been kind of skiing up in Mammoth when I went. I used to body go off for easy. He liked to go up there, but they gave me some skis that was actually not wide enough. You know, they was really. I actually still have them at the house, man. I gave them to my wife. I needed the ones that you like actually get on water with, you know, because I was so big, you know. But every time I tried to get going, I would get stuck in the snow and fall to one side, and I just called it quits for the rest of the day, man. You know,
I'm having a Bugs Bunny moment here.
Yeah, man, it was really fun, though, man.
But that, no kidding. I was trying to think, you know, what kind of a ski would be wide enough? Because we bought you some swim fins, okay? And we went to the whitest part of Southern California, La Cañada, California. I don't think they've even seen a black person cross
either,
that border, much less somebody like yourself, okay? And we went to the sports store, remember? And we ordered up a wetsuit, and it took two guys walking around you like it was a playground tetherball thing, trying to measure you, and they were terrified, right? Remember?
Very terrified, man. And I was like, everybody was checking me out, like, blacks up in this area, there goes the neighborhood.
and I remember ordering up swim fins for you, and what was it, size 14 or something?
Yeah, 14s, because, you know, you got me those rubber shoes to go with, and that's what made it 14s and stuff.
Okay, but I remember we had to order those. They were they're in back order because you're as big as
big
the whole
as
boat.
Because I remember you told me to go buy some. I went and bought them and they bent on the first lesson. Remember that? You said, that's bullshit, man. Go get some, get you some reels.
Yeah, anyways. No, they broke right away because his foot didn't fit into it. Now I'm wondering, what kind of skis would you actually get? That's what you would use, is water skis. You'd get two of them, and you'd have like a Roger Rabbit kind of a moment going down the slope like that, right?
You got it, man.
Okay. You know what? I saw something else in the news here. I saw something going on in the news that where Bryant Gumbel, you know, from HBO and whatever, a really great sports announcer, loved to watch his show. I have for many years. Has gone on record saying that the Winter Olympics is a classically white-only kind of a sport, and that it's a white country club. I'm thinking that's the quote. It may not be the quote, but he's saying that there are no black players in the Winter Olympics, and I'm summarizing because I don't have the news item in front of me. And again, I don't want to misquote, you know, a good spirit here. But he was commenting that there are no black people in, certainly not enough to comment on, in the Winter Olympics. I don't know if there's any particular sport that I can think of where there's a black face, you know, male, female, who's actually in the Winter Olympics. Hutch, can you think of one? Who's that?
I do believe I've seen one of the speed skaters is a black guy.
I don't know. I'm sorry, Animal, go ahead.
remember his first name, but his last name is Davis, and he had a big discrepancy with one of the guys on the speed team because he wanted to compete by himself, and they not speaking, you know, and they asked him how he felt about him winning the gold, and then he's talked about his other buddy winning the silver.
Talking about Shawnee Davis.
Yeah,
okay.
That's his name, Shawnee Davis.
And he's what, a speed skater?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he like the only African American that
the
you
very first one.
Wow. I didn't know it was to that critical point. Yeah. I was going to go, there's got to be seven or eight other people that I'm not thinking of, and I do not include the Jamaican bobsled team. Okay. That is a given, okay? I'm talking about individual players or individual players on a team, okay, that doesn't come from an all-black country. Is there even an all-black, is African countries competing in Winter Olympics at all? Do we have a Zimbabwe? Do we have a Zaire or a Niger or a Sierra Leone or anything like that? I don't think we do. Go ahead.
You know, like when I'm watching it, I really don't be looking for the black, white, yellow, or green. I just be looking for the event. But then I actually saw one black guy, like, wow, that's interesting. You know, let's see where it goes.
I wonder where he started out doing that. Probably in a backyard, schoolyard kind of a thing, like a lot of the hockey players do.
Yeah, probably.
I wonder if he was the only black kid out there ice skating and do that. Is it ice skating popular in the hood?
Oh no, man.
I don't think so.
Running is.
Okay. Well, no, that makes all the sense because you don't need as much gear. You don't need a rink. You don't need the skates. You don't need to sharpen the skates. You don't need a coach to teach you how to use the skates, etc. Basic hockey technique is not genetically imprinted. You got to learn it from somebody. Track and field? Yeah, that's genetically imprinted in all of us. Run, stop, turn, throw, put the shot, you know, jump over or under, as the case may be. But this is very interesting to me, is that there's only one black to win an individual gold, and there's three black people total in the National Hockey League. Okay, so is it because black people don't like cold weather?
That's one good point, because I definitely do not like cold weather. And, you know, like, it's like, you know, like, quote me if I'm wrong, it was a coach, he got in trouble for saying this, but black people and Mexicans can stand heat better than white folks, and I'm a black guy saying it, so I can say it. White people can stand cold weather better than we can.
Well, now wait, you know? I wanted to qualify that. White people can probably stand cold better than most, except for Jewish white people who prefer Miami. That is genetically imprinted. You've never heard Mr. Cohen or Mr. Katzenberg going, I'm retiring to Fairbanks. I'm just wondering if it's a tradition. Obviously, well, maybe it is a genetic thing. I got a question here. And give us a call, 866-313-3733. Does this now become one of those issues where we start complaining because, okay, well, it's all white in this and it turned out that way, and next I'm going to get a phone call where they go, well, what about the black Miss America thing, and how come they won't let a white chick into that? And, well, obviously she has no soul, baby. Maybe separate but equal. I don't know. I don't care. I think it'd be great if you had more black in there. Who's more sporting like? Who's more physical? And something like a snowboard half pipe and these kinds of cool new moves. It's just like any other sport, you know? I can't see why African Americans wouldn't be as good. It's probably just, it's a money issue. How much does it cost to go snowboarding or skiing these days? Sean, you do this routinely.
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah.
Go ahead, turn his mic on there, Hutch.
Yeah, back home, it's about $50 just to pop. Just about, you know, on weekdays sometimes it's less, but that's not on like when the high schools have vacation. If you come in groups, you may get a little less, but if it's just you and maybe one other person, it's about $50.
Okay,
that's,
but
just
it's
your lift ticket too. That's
stop. But it's $50 on top of the gear, on top of the car full of gasoline, on top of lunch, dinner, and however long it takes, on top of the chains for the tires, on top of the extra tire because you got a flat, on top of the fight with the girlfriend, and now she needs her own hotel room. Let's not go skiing. That's what it sounds like when you crash at the bottom of the slope here. Anyway. Sean White, great, great, great spirit. At 8 o'clock coming up, Alexei Lalas from the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. Sporting Tuesday, huh? And we're going to start to review the Sly and the Family Stone tribute. We just picked that up down there. This is the one that you're seeing on all the airwaves and everything. Different strokes for different folks. And this is all the stuff with Big Boy and Chuck D and Moby and John Mayer and everybody like that. So we're going to be reviewing this album in just a little bit here. Also, 9 o'clock coming up, porn star Jenna Hayes. Just as we bring you all the new talents that you might not find everywhere, this is the one who's next. We know about Jenna Jameson. She's got her clothing line, and we're all for it. Jenna Hayes has the magic. You watch. Jenna Hayes has the soul. She's got the personality. She's got the look. This is the thoroughbred I'm picking to outdistance the rest. We made a list of the front runners. No pun intended. We made a list of those porn stars who have a chance to make it beyond where they are now. They're goddesses. They're the queens of the film and the celluloid as it is now. But there are a few who are going to go on to other things. Jenna Jameson is one. We were talking about her clothing line and everything. Animal, are you wearing Jenna jeans right now?
Of course. Can't you tell? She should let me do a design for her jeans. I can really mess it up for her, man.
What would you do? What kind of jeans would you design for a porn star line?
Oh, man. I got some. You want to know the name of it? I hope nobody bite it. I got some that I call Jezebel 13.
Jezebel 13. Why that? Yeah. Why the number?
Because 13 is my lucky number.
Fascinating. That's not a bad title. Yeah. And you know what? With Jenna Hayes, that could be Jezebel, right?
Yeah.
We'll bring it up. Anyways, yeah. Number 5, Brian wants to talk about the Olympics here. Bring him on. 866-313-3733. Brian, you're talking to D-Row. Go.
Hey, David Lee Roth. First off, I wanted to say you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you, friend.
I speculated a little bit, you know, just because of coming from music and everything, but you're awesome. You're very open-minded.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to say, the gold medalist for the speed skating, I think it was the 1,000-meter long track, he was the first black person to win a gold medal.
Oh, how much? Illuminate us. Go ahead.
But there has been very few. I mean, by far, at least. I don't remember too many. And I've followed the Winter Olympics more so than the winter than the summer.
Why do you follow the Winter Olympics more so than the summer, friend?
I'm not sure. I've always followed hockey, like the NHL, and it's just more appealing to me. I mean, I watch the swimming and stuff in the summer, but I guess because maybe the United States has always been an underdog.
Okay.
Until recent, and I kind of root for the underdog.
Okay. Well, we're in agreement that there is a lack of black participants in the Winter Olympics. Yes or no?
Yes, definitely. And I think
okay, now here's the question. I'm all raising a big noise and a loud colored flag on behalf of that which people care about. Does anybody really care? And I'm talking to everybody who's black. Do you really care that there's not a lot of you in the Winter Olympics here? And that's a legitimate question here, because it seems like if there was a concerted effort, or maybe there is really a concerted effort to keep African Americans out. I don't know. But this is one of those cases where I've got to wonder out loud. Animal, yeah, do you really care?
David, I really do not care, man.
Okay, well, what about you, Brian? Go ahead. Do you care?
Do I care?
Yes.
I care if they're being kept out.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I don't agree with that, but I think it's more of a location and probably financial, because it is expensive to ski, it's not something you can just do, like shoot hoops out by... you know, at the local playground. You can't ski or, you know, ice skate there.
Well, in that respect, isn't it a little bit like curling? They don't do that where I grew up either, and I have virtually no interest in it, consequently. And I'm wondering if there is a great uprising in the hood. Is Spike Lee now holding a hockey stick saying, yeah, let us in, and there's a whole phalanx of white guys in neckties who look like Tom Gisano going, no way, son, like this, because yeah, I don't have that impression. And then I have the impression that it's just not particular to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood doesn't really care. What do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to think that. But I mean, I can't say that because I'm not black, and I can't speak for them and how they feel about it.
Okay, well, hold on one second. Okay. Animal, do you care?
No, I don't care.
Okay, well, there's the end of the conversation. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733, Roth Radio, Olympic style. Let's take one more call here, okay? Margaret, Margaret, you sound like an Olympian to me. Are you on?
I'm on.
Talk to me, Marge. What's cooking?
Well, you know, I watched the... I speed skated for many, many years. I went down to the... When Woman Rink was open, skated with a lot of African-American skaters. Watched the Olympics. Watched this gentleman win the gold medal. Was absolutely delighted to see that he won the medal. When they interviewed him afterwards, he had such an attitude. Now, I know there's competitiveness between the skaters. The guy from Texas was, you know, he was up in the moon, but he was upset that this guy wouldn't race the relay with him. And said, you know, but when they asked the gentleman's name who won, the African-American who won it, he said, well, I'm in it for me. I'm not in it for the team.
Okay, it sounds to me like he has an exalted view of both himself and Kanye West. Thanks for calling. Yeah, baby.
Mike, really is. Bienvenue au David Lee Roth. Faites comme chez vous, nous on le fait. Roth, 6h du mat.
Great day for guests. We had Olympic gold medalist Shaun White. What an amazing spirit he is, huh? He's going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. He's going to be like on the Wheaties box, man. He's up there. He's taking those pictures like Muhammad Ali and all the greats. Good for him, man, going far. And he says his dad's like the Big Lebowski. He must be related to me, huh? You think? And then Brian's going to ruin him forever by teaching him how to play the electrical guitar efficiently. It's all over. It's all over. And that is Brian Young playing up front there, up where we drive the helicopter. Track blast and take it away, homie. Take it. And in about 15 minutes, we got Alexei Lalas. Alexei Lalas from the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. We're going to be talking about soccer. We're going to be talking about European football. And why do we bother with all of these sports pursuits? Why do we watch our diet? Why do we train? Why do we do strength lifting? Why do we go to the gym? Why so many hours of sports visualization? Why so many hours watching the video, purchasing the equipment, and refining your athletic edge? So that you can meet porn stars. And we have one of the best, porn star Jenna Hayes. She's coming up at 9 o'clock here. Everybody's a lot of little pointy ears are picking up even now. Look at the security's becoming incontinent. Let's get back to reality here. Do black people even care that they're not in the Winter Olympics? And I say that with all respect. Okay, I see where Spike Lee is complaining about all white Hollywood. He's saying, you know, that, okay, they're going to hire Denzel, they'll hire Jamie Foxx and Eddie Murphy, but then the studios have no diversity. All right, I support that. It's a true thing that he's saying, and I think that a lot of African Americans are upset about it. Great. My question right now is, do you give a flying freak about not being in the men's downhill open slalom half pipe curling event? And hold on, turn off the loop here, animal. On behalf of all black people everywhere, do you care that there are no African Americans in the Winter Olympics?
No, I do not.
Thank you. Okay, anyways, what we're gonna do is take some phone calls just in case he missed one. I can't count that many fingers, Hutch, but go ahead and dial.
Tony is on the line.
Tony, perhaps Tony cares. Because if you care, then I will wave that flag. I will support you, and I will give holy hell and harangue from dawn till dusk, as I do on behalf of Paris Hilton and celebutards everywhere, as I do on behalf of the guy who thinks Sammy Hagar was kidnapped by aliens and had sex probes, which are still in place. I support him. On behalf of the guy who went to 1,000 bars, it's like when Bruce Springsteen wrote that song, 41 Shots. I thought, yeah, maybe on a school night.
All right.
But let's see what our friend thinks. Go ahead. You're on.
Listen, I am a 43-year-old African-American man. I live in Newark, been in Newark practically all my life.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I do not care.
Hold on. Let's hear him. Go ahead, friend.
I mean, of course, as long as nobody is, I haven't heard any evidence, I haven't heard any whispers, but as long as nobody's being held out, that's one thing. But if nobody's trying, I don't care.
Well, this is my point, friend. What is your name?
My name is Tony.
Tony, I'm with you.
Known as Hard Rock for anybody who's listening to me on the radio, because I got a lot of people that listen to you, Dave.
Okay, Hard Rock. I can tell you now that if I can find two people together who will say to me, yes, we do care, then we will raise that flag high, and we will support the movement to join the men's downhill half-pipe curling hockey event, okay? But I don't particularly care, because I didn't grow up around a lot of winter sports.
You know what else, Dave? Sports that we do care about, like basketball, for instance. The past Summer Olympic, our bat. First of all, you know, if the United States goes ahead and puts together dream team after dream team after dream team, nobody's going to whoop us in basketball. But when we had an opportunity to put together dream team after dream team, most of our dream players said, "I'm not even going."
Why do you think they said that? Why do you think they didn't go?
Well, I don't know. I'd probably speculate by saying either money or fear of injury.
You know what? And fear of injury equates to money as well. And it kind of falls back on kind of a Kanye West kind of approach to modern sports. He talks about his music, I belong here and I should have this, and he's very concerned about his commercial as opposed to the artistic. And it sounds like Shawnee Davis, the fellow from the speed skating, had the same kind of issues there. So it's more about the marketing and the endorsement. Maybe they're being realists and they're saying, hey, we had Johnny Damon here and he said, yeah, the average length of a career is 3 years. 3 years? I can hold my breath for 3 years, man. Maybe they're being realistic. Maybe they finally joined that pantheon of superstars where you go, this is the real world, man. I've got to feed my family. I've got to feed my Mercedes-Benz, my small but manageable drinking problem. I kind of understand that. Do you?
Yeah, I understand it, too. So I don't want to hear people complaining. You know, when you have a chance to go to the Olympics and dominate, you choose not to. I don't want to hear people saying, well, you know, can't make it here either. You know, don't cry to me about it.
Yeah.
Stand up, represent your country 100% Summer and Winter Olympics, or shut up.
I agree with you. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio, that was a good call. Hard Rock. He's got some good flair there, huh? I told you guys, we get this gig, you're going to hear all kinds of interesting voices on here that they don't usually hear on After Hours Radio. I don't think of it as morning radio. Roth Radio. A bottomless cup of attitude, and the second one is free, punk. Give us another call here, Hutch. 866-313-3733.
Pamela from Ohio.
Pamela, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting ready to do the half pipe with you.
Anyway, I don't agree.
With what?
Shawnee Davis came from, I don't think his attitude is so much him as it is his mother.
Maybe it's because his costume is too tight.
No. It has to do with how his mother raised him.
Share with us.
Okay, when he was in grade school, she made him get up every morning before he ate.
That bitch.
And run a mile.
That bitch.
Every morning.
That was probably the most genius move she could have pulled with this guy.
Well,
it was probably the last time he really had discipline.
I don't think it's so much racist or being black in the Olympics as it was just the drive to be there.
Okay, I'm going to share with you truly, Pamela. I agree with you that the drive starts early. Just like in the first three syllables of this phone call, I am feeling driven. But if you don't drive a child in the beginning, he's never going to pump gas efficiently, much less come charging down the half-pipe curling men's downhill slalom event. Do you agree?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you is it's not so much about the fact that he's the first black American. I mean, the whole thing is he's going to go down in history for being that first speed skater. And it was his mother that pushed him to that goal. He didn't even know that's where he was going to go.
So you feel that the medal belongs to mom?
I would say more so like he agrees. It was his mother that put him there.
Well, I would think that Kanye West would agree with that formula as well. Have you seen his mother on television?
No,
exact same profile.
Kanye West, come on, I don't think Kanye West compares.
Well, yeah, but they both speak the same way, and you're tracing it back to the root instead of the fruit. There's a couple of moms responsible for a whole lot of self-esteem. Maybe self-esteem, when we see it unadorned, really pisses us off. What do you think? I disagree with you, hot stuff, but I'm glad you called.
Roth Radio, 866-333-1333. I wonder if you actually called that. What would you get? Like a porn call in Tokyo? Let me dial it up. Turn the track up here. Take one more call here. At least one more. Dial them in, Hunch. Roth Radio, New York to Philly, Philly to Dallas, Boston to Cleveland, Pittsburgh to West Palm Beach. And we're worldwide on the DavidLeeRoth.com stream. Internet, flat world, baby. From sea to shining sea, from Broadway to Cheyenne. 866-313-3733. Do we got a call?
John.
John, you're on.
Hey, David Lee, nobody walks these streets at night but me.
Me and about three other guys in EMT uniforms.
Dave, from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Welcome, my friend. Welcome. I know exactly where you're calling from. I've done a few shifts out there. Okay, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, here's my thing about the blacks in Hollywood. You know, I love black people. I really do. And are there any white people working at BET?
Okay, I like the way you dovetailed one into the other. That's freestyle abstract thinking. But I think that you drove right off the road and kept on going. Although, on the other hand, if everything is headed your way in an interview like this, friend, you're probably facing down the wrong lane.
No, Dave, you got me wrong, man. I mean, if somebody builds a business, don't they get to hire who they want to?
I agree with you. You know what? We're going to come back after the spots here. Don't go away. You stay on the phone line, and we'll arm wrestle over this. Stick on for a few minutes, friend. We'll be right back.
Here we go.